prepared for you. In other words, God's got a miracle for you tonight. And he's going to bring you into that miracle. Down to verse 22, but if you indeed obey his voice and do all that I command, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversary. He's going to take care of the devil for you. Amen. Verse 25, so shall you serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, which speaks of blessing and prosperity. And he will take sickness away from you, out of your midst. So there's a blessing for healing there in first fruits. Verse 28, no one shall suffer miscarriage or be barren in your land. There will be nobody that's barren that wants to have children when you operate in first fruits. Then it says, I will fulfill the number of your days. You'll not die before your time. That's some good news for some people, praise God, amen. Good news for all of us. Then verse 30, little by little I shall drive them out before you until I have increased you and you inherit the land. Increase in inheritance belongs to you. Amen. Then verse 31, and I will set your boundaries from the Red Sea to the Sea of Philistia and from the desert to the river. And if you read the balance down to the end, whatever the enemy has stolen from you shall be returned. Amen. Praise God. So there are great promises for us in first fruits. Now, just before we start tonight, if you were not here this morning or you didn't take the opportunity to present a first fruits offering and you want to do that, raise your hand and make sure you have a card if you need one. The ushers will see that you get one. And we want to give you that opportunity to be able to do that at this time. And then we will deal with the message tonight and see where the Lord takes us from there as to how he wants us to minister. So if you'd fill that out, it gives you a place for your personal commitment, your business commitment, if you're giving first fruits for your business. And there's all the information that you can fill there would be appreciated. And just give you a moment if you can slip up to the front when you finish filling out the card, and we'll pray with you. If everybody will just exercise faith. I'm going to ask if we could do something. How many of you realize when someone's up preaching a sermon or doing some teaching that every one of you has a responsibility in preaching that message? In other words, that happens when you pull the message out of the speaker. And so I want you to do that this evening. And also, I want you to listen to the request that was made by Charlie earlier. If you're in the far wings, if you could move into this section here, and if you're sitting back, if you can move forward, the closer you come, the easier it is to preach, and the more you'll get out of the message. So you can do that at this time as well. If you have those first fruits commitments, just come forward and we'll pray with you at this time. Praise the Lord. Charlie, why don't you come, you and your wife, and pray? Just mute my mic for a moment, if you will. Father God, we just thank you as our sister brings this first fruits commitment that Father God has sanctified. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Take your Bibles, if you will, please. And if you don't have your Bibles, the scriptures will be up on the screen. But it's good every once in a while to get a hold of this in your hand and be able to read from the Bible. Praise the Lord. I realize a number of people use their cell phones and different things to do so, but every once in a while I think it's real good to get a hold of that piece of leather, that written word that you find in here. Praise the Lord. It says in the beginning, right at the very start, we see the subject of new beginnings. And in the very beginning, we're introduced to something amazing, and that's the subject of giving. All of journey is a life of first things and new beginnings. A new beginning at birth, a new beginning in salvation, a new beginning in relationships, a new beginning in marriage. Every day presents us with new beginnings and second chances. Some of those are major, some not so much. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. That word God here in the Hebrew is God's, which introduces us to the Trinity. In the beginning, God, plural, created. And this shows us the importance of partnership in creation. For it tells us that in the beginning, the partnership of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit created the heavens and the earth. Now, we'll find in our journey in life, we accomplish so much more in kingdom living when partnership is involved. God said, in the beginning, God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now, this creative light takes us from darkness to light. The earth was formless and void and empty, and darkness covered the deep. Now, we see in the Gospel of John, Jesus, the Word, was life. That was the light of the man, light of all men. Jesus said of himself, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you have the light that leads to life. And Genesis chapter 1 provides a piece of the puzzle, not only how the earth came about, but how life works. And it provides a seven-step journey to wholeness that transcends generations. It's more about transformation. Everybody say transformation. It's more about transformation than it is about creation. And when transformation starts occurring in the atmosphere of creative power, the result is always change. Change is required. Now, most people say they don't like change, and that's not true. Most people like change. They like the results of change. What they don't like so much is the transition. They don't want to go through the transitions that's necessary to receive the results of change. Transformation always has been the message of the root of creation and the gospel, and it's a powerful, powerful application. As this process of transformation unfolds, we're quickly exposed to the importance of the seed. And I want you to look at Genesis chapter 1, beginning in verse 6. Genesis chapter 1, beginning in verse 6. Then God said, let there be firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Thus God that made a firmament divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, so the evening and the morning were the second day. And the first day he said, let there be light, and there was light. Verse 9, then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together to one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the earth land, called the dry land earth, and gathering together of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And so it was. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree so that the tree that yields fruit whose seed is in itself according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day. Now looking back at verse 12, he says, the land produced vegetation, plants bearing a seed according to its kind, and trees bearing fruit with seed according to their kind, and God saw that it was good. God created plant life before he created natural light to light up the world. Then God said, going on, light appears, let light appear in the sky to separate the day from the night. Let them be signs to mark the seasons, the days, and the years. They say lights in the sky shine down on the earth. And that's what happened. God made two great lights. The larger one to govern the day and smaller one to govern the night. He also made the stars. God said, let these lights in the sky light the earth to govern the day and night and to separate the light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And evening passed and morning came, marking the fourth day. On day six, the Creator throws to us a paradoxical challenge into the mix. Genesis 1:29, if you'll go there, says this. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it, they will be yours for food. And here's the paradox. If you personally consume the seed and only use it to satisfy your own needs, satisfy your own wants or your own hunger, it will never produce tomorrow's supply. When we talk about giving, people immediately think about money. But giving, while indicating that, is much more than that. It's the condition of the heart. Giving is the condition of your heart. It shows what's in your heart by your giving. Oftentimes when it comes to giving to the Lord, we see it as a sacrifice. And many times sacrifice is involved. However, if we make the transition to it becoming worship, we open ourselves to supernatural blessings of God. Many times we feel that we're being asked to sacrifice. But when it comes to our giving, it actually becomes a time of worship. This is a worship to God when we present our tithes and our offerings and first fruits. So you need to always see that it's an act of us coming. We might as well raise our hands and start praising God. Amen. Because we can come and we can sow with our tithes and offerings. Day three suggests that we can project the outcome of a thing if we engage in the process known as the principle of the seed. Here's the principle of the seed. If you're taking notes, mark this down. Trees don't produce trees. Trees don't produce trees. Seeds don't produce seeds. Trees produce fruit, which produce seeds, which produce trees. So the effect is multiplication. What you do is that the application of this, what you do with your seed, governs what multiplies in your life. When you sow seeds of faith, faith multiplies. When you sow seeds of trust, trust multiplies. When you sow seeds of money, money multiplies. When you sow seeds of talent, talent multiplies. When you sow seeds of love, love multiplies. When you sow seeds of kindness, kindness multiplies. When you sow seeds of faithfulness, faithfulness multiplies. Note everything is according to its kind. It multiplies, praise God. Every seed has a special ingredient. It's called potential. And unless you know how to release the potential, all you'll ever have is seed. Seed that is not sown does not multiply. John 12:24. I tell you the truth. Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Remember, only what you give can be multiplied back. I want everyone to grasp the fact that God's eternal principle is sowing and reaping, giving and receiving. That's an internal principle of God. For something of value to increase, it must be invested. We have to want the seed, we have to want the harvest, excuse me, more than we want the seed. A lot of people want the harvest. They want the blessings, but they don't want to give up any seed. We must sow seed in order to receive the harvest that God has for us. Jesus said something extremely important and interesting about the branch. John 15:5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. How many here are branches? He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Now it's important because the branch or the stem plays a critical important role in the process of fruitfulness. It's the connection between the root and the fruit. It's the connection between the root and the fruit. So you are a critical element connecting between root life and fruit life. Now, broadly speaking, you're not responsible for the production of fruit, just the bearing of it. The responsibility on your part to the growth is to the growth and the strength of the root, just by being connected correctly. Connectedness requires a need for partnership, which results in concern for others rather than self-centeredness. It recognized partnership is critical for producing and reproducing and multiplication. John 15:5 says, if a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Fruit cannot be produced in the absence of a suitable branch or stem. The main element governing the success for the branch is its connection to the root and the tree. It flows from the particular tree to which it has found itself connected. The extent or level of connectedness has direct impact on the ability of the plant to realize its full potential in regard to fruitfulness. There, if it's true, coming and going as one pleases is not optional. If you are connected to the local house, simply put, you are connected. If you're connected to the local house, simply put, you are connected. If you're planted, simply put, you're planted. Have you ever noticed that plants don't move around? If you are properly connected or planted, you're a participant in partnership. This brings life and growth to all of us. Your partnership in the local house, this part of the body of Christ, is vital and it's important. Taking out but not giving back is not an option. In relationships, you don't take out of that relationship without putting back into the relationship. If you try to put back with doing it without putting back, the relationship will die. In your marriage and family, you don't take out without giving back, or your family will not grow. In church fellowship, you don't take out without giving back. It's a requirement of partnership. It's fascinating what can be gleaned as a model from life and the first model revealed. Now, we have to do a little study here, but first before that, I want to share something that Pastor Nichols often says. There is no greater sign of partnership than your tithes and offerings to the local church. You show if you're a partner by what you do in giving. Now, we need to do a little study here about life by photosynthesis. Now, that sounds like a big word. In fact, I sometimes have difficulty pronouncing it, but it's actually very simple. You can divide it into two parts. Photo in the Greek word is for light, and synthesis in the Greek word for putting together. Now, you've probably noticed this, but that animals and humans eat food, but plants don't eat in the same fashion. Photosynthesis is how plants seed. They use the process to make their own food. Since they don't have to move around to find food, plants stay in one place, and they can make their food anywhere as long as they have three things: carbon dioxide, water, and light. Okay, so we take carbon dioxide plus water plus light results in what? Okay, how many remember this teaching in school? Carbon dioxide plus water plus light equals what? Produces what? I can't hear you. Okay, try this. Results are sugar and oxygen. Without that process, we don't have sugar for the plant, we don't have oxygen. Limiting in any one of those factors limits the process. Plants breathe as we do. They even have little openings like mouths, but they're too small for us to see without a microscope. Plants breathe in carbon dioxide. They also drink. They need water or they'll die. Their roots suck up the water up into their bodies and their little mouths breathe in the carbon dioxide. Once they have both these elements, They need the addition of light. Little cells of the leaves then take all these three and turn them into that sugar and oxygen. So photosynthesis simply means to put together with light. And bear in mind, natural light as we know it wasn't created before plant life. What causes a branch to become dry? Plants have two systems for the transportation of substance using two different types of transport as tissue. The first one is xylem. Xylem, X-Y-L-E-M. Talking about water made me thirsty. Xylem transports water and solutes from the roots to the leaves, while phloem, P-H-L-O-E-M, transports food from the leaves to the rest of the plant. Phloem fossils move sugars produced during the process from the leaves to the growing tissue or the roots and shoots. And storage as well. A good example would be a root vegetable such as a carrot. How that goes back into, you'll notice if you, some people that have gone on a diet, one thing they restrict is the carrots that you eat because of the high level of sugar that's gone back into the root. So there's a process of drawing from, but always feeding back. So when you draw, how many draw from this church? You draw on the Word of God. You draw on the preaching. You draw on the ministry that's provided. You have a responsibility, and I know you know this. Many of you would know it. But if you're drawing from, you have the responsibility in feeding back. If you want the root to continue to produce and provide all that this church provides to you, it's necessary that you give back. And there was a resounding three amens. Amen. Thank you. That gets the number up there by a few. So there's that process of drawing from and feeding back. Drawing from and feeding back. Drawing from and feeding back. I draw from the church food for my life. This is life-giving. You are a blessed people because of Calvary Cathedral. You feed from Calvary. You have the responsibility of feeding back tithes and offerings and first fruits. Current trends in our world today are for loose temporal connections. And it's very alarming that the same mindset of loose temporal connections have dangerously crept into the church. And let's be honest. If you're just loosely connected to the local body, you'll not participate in the overwhelming blessings of kingdom living. John 15:5 says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Verse 16 says, you did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, that your fruit should remain. We need to understand the importance of being engaged as partners. We need to understand the importance. We're not just living off the fruit, but we're continuously feeding back to the root. It's the only way the fruit will produce is if we're feeding the root. You're not defined by your potential. You're defined by the fruit produced in you. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. Now, that's the principle. Here's the application. seed that's not sown does not multiply. John 12:24, I tell you the truth. Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Another translation, the message, or listen carefully. Unless a grain of wheat is buried in the ground, dead to the world, it is never any more than a grain of wheat. But if it's buried, it sprouts and produces many times over. What you sow into the local house produces many times over. Every time you write your tithe check, your offering check, it produces many times over. It multiplies. Multiplies blessings to others. Our words are more important than we ever suppose. Just look at what they have created and dismantled in your life and in my life and other lives as evidence. In the realm of faith, and it's all about faith, speaking words of belief marks the difference between life and death. We speak words unto faith until those words become alive, and then we speak words of faith. To continuously feed yourself on the Word of God, and that becomes the living Word. That's faith. Hallelujah. Now, it's fascinating in my thinking that there are two books of the Bible separated by thousands of years and different sides of a divine, and on different sides of a divide that connects the dots of meaning in this beautiful story that we find in Genesis. Genesis 1 shows God involved in prehistory. God said, let there be light. And there was light. Look at the power in the Word. John 1 shows God involving, embedding himself in our history. In the beginning, the Word was life and light to men. God said, let there be light. Jesus said, I am that light. Both speak of two things. Word power and light. But the kind of light spoken of is different to our first thoughts. It precedes our exposure to any kind of light we think matters from external sources. This is a light from which you do not hide. You may choose to hide from it, but you can't hide from the light of God's Word. It illuminates the inside and works from the inside out, not outside in. It helps us envision something going on in the spiritual realm, the very throne room of God, that can be passed into the seen world. Creation was not simply a matter of God giving of himself, it was God giving of himself, culminating in incarnation. The ultimate gift, God in the flesh. The firstborn of many brethren. We're asked to give our first fruits. God gave his first and only begotten Son.